This made the thought of dragging myself home that much less appealing. I wanted to lie down and take a nap. I took a blanket and pillow from a cabinet, spread them on the sofa in the fitting room, and turned out the light. Then I lay down, closed my eyes, and began thinking about Mackerel. I wanted to fall asleep thinking about the cat. He was something that had come back to me. He had managed to come back to me from somewhere far away. That had to be a kind of blessing. As I lay there with my eyes closed, I thought about the soft touch of the pads on the underside of the cat's paws, the cold, triangular ears, the pink tongue. In my mind, Mackerel had curled up and was sleeping quietly. I felt his warmth with the palm of my hand. I could hear his regular breathing. I was far more on edge than usual, but sleep came to me before too long, a deep sleep, without dreams. I awoke in the middle of the night. I thought I had heard sleigh bells somewhere far away, as in the background of Christmas music. Sleigh bells? I sat up on the sofa and felt for my watch on the coffee table. The luminous hands showed 1:30. I must have slept more soundly than I had expected to. I sat still and listened hard, but the only sound I could hear was the faint, dry thumping of my own heart. Maybe I had imagined the sleigh bells. Maybe I had been dreaming after all. I decided, nevertheless, to check the house. I stepped into my slippers and padded into the kitchen. The sound grew more distinct when I left the room. It really did sound like sleigh bells, and it seemed to be coming from Cinnamon's office. I stood by the door for a while, listening, then gave a knock. Cinnamon might have come back to the residence while I was sleeping, but there was no answer. I opened the door a crack and looked inside. Somewhere around waist height in the darkness, I could see a whitish glow and a square shape. It was the glow of the computer screen, and the bell sound was the machine's repeated beeping, a new kind of beep which I had not heard before. The computer was calling out to me. As if drawn towards it, I sat down in front of the glow and read the message on the screen. You have now gained access to the program The Wind-Up Bird Chronicle. Choose a document 1 to 16. Someone had turned the computer on and accessed documents titled The Wind-Up Bird Chronicle. There should have been no one in the residence besides me. Could someone have started it from outside the house? If so, it could only have been Cinnamon. The Wind-Up Bird Chronicle? The light, cheery sound, like sleigh bells, continued to emanate from the computer as if it were Christmas morning. It seemed to be urging me to make a choice. After some hesitation, I picked number 8 for no particular reason. The ringing stopped, and a document opened on the screen like a horizontal scroll painting being spread out before me. 26. The Wind-Up Bird Chronicle, number 8, or A Second Clumsy Massacre. The veterinary surgeon woke before 6 a.m., after washing his face in cold water, he made himself breakfast. Daybreak came at an early hour in summer, and most of the animals in the zoo were already awake. The open window let in their cries and the breeze that carried their smells, which told him the weather without his having to look outside. This was part of his routine. He would first listen, then inhale the morning air, and so ready himself for each new day. Today, however, should have been different from the day before. It had to be different. So many voices and smells had been lost. The tigers, the leopards, the wolves, the bears, all had been liquidated by soldiers the previous afternoon. Now, after a night of sleep, those events seemed like part of a sluggish nightmare he had had long ago. But he knew they had really happened. His ears still felt a dull ache from the roar of the soldiers' rifles. That could not be a dream. It was August now, the year was 1945, and he was here in the city of Xinjiang, where the Soviet troops that had burst across the border were pressing closer every hour. This was reality, as real as the sink and toothbrush he saw in front of him. The sound of the elephant's trumpeting gave him some sense of relief. Ah, yes, the elephants had survived.